same night he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had broke it, he literally tore it in half. He said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." And that begins this whole Easter seasonal story. It begins with his arrest, his beating, his crucifixion. Everything moves so very quickly. Once he enters Jerusalem, these events unfold very, very quickly. But he took time to have the Passover meal with his disciples, and he began to reveal unto them what this really meant that was about to happen. And they didn't get it when it was happening. They only looked back and saw it in remembrance, just like we're looking at it today. Amen. He said, every time that you do this, every time that you do this, and I'd like you to just break the wafer if you would. He tore the piece of bread in half because his body was going to be torn, literally tortured and torn in order to redeem us. And he said, this is my body. It's broken for you. As often as you eat this bread, you do it in remembrance of me, suffering and dying for you. You may eat the bread. Then he picked up the third cup. There were four cups at the Passover meal. The third cup represented redemption. God brought them out of Egypt. He redeemed them unto himself. He ransomed them. And blood was on the doorpost and the threshold and the lintel. It dripped from the top to the bottom. They didn't have to sweep the hyssop over the bottom. It wasn't like a dripless paintbrush, which I don't believe in. They've all dripped on me. But the guards, when they put that on the doorpost, when they put it on the top, it dripped on them. It dripped down onto the floor, and the floor was saturated. And there was blood covering the entire entrance to every home when the death angel came. And God said something so phenomenal. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Praise God. And I know God can't see sinless perfection in anybody sitting here. We're not sinners bound and enslaved by Satan anymore, but we are not perfect today. We don't have a sign out front that says the end of your search for the perfect church. Someone that may be looking for the perfect church and ever told me that, I'd say, please don't join it. You'll ruin it, because that will be the imperfection right there. Can you say amen? There is no such thing, but there is a blood-bought church. Can you say amen? And the people that are in heaven that come out of every kindred, tongue, and nation. And the question was asked by John, who are these? And the answer came, these are they who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. So he said when he picked up that cup, this is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for the sins of many. As often as you drink this, you proclaim, you show, you declare the Lord's death till he come. You may drink the cup. Thank you, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord and Savior. We praise you, Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Turn to someone and say, God's peace be with you. Will you do that today? It's a much needed thing. A much needed thing. God's peace be with you. Praise God. Hallelujah. When Doug brought this cross out, I had just got a good, nice plexiglass, modern, you could see me through the plexiglass pulpit. I saw it back out here. It don't look so good anymore. Amen. But I could stand behind the plexiglass and you could see how well my suit fit while I preached. I didn't think of it in those terms, but I was thinking yesterday when I saw that plexiglass. My dad was with me yesterday in the little fat chihuahua. Amen. And while I was doing a few things around here, and we came inside, and he loved the cross. He loved the cross. From your angle, you probably can't hardly even see, especially without my books on it, that there's actually a pulpit here. Amen. And when I first saw it, I thought, boy, the modern plexiglass is going. Doug's made me a cross. I'll use it for communion services. We'll pull that cross out during communion services, and we'll put it up and get my plexiglass, you know, out here because it's modern and updated and all of that. And you know something? I wouldn't take anything for this pulpit right here. There used to be a prayer, Lord, hide me. Preachers used to pray it. Lord, hide me where? Behind the cross. Let people see Jesus. Let people hear Jesus. Let people get their hearts and their faith set in Jesus. Not the pastor, the preacher, the bishop, the evangelist, the anointing, and all of that. That's to help us exalt Jesus. All of these gifts are to help us exalt Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? It is not to put the focus on ourselves, put the spotlight on ourselves. You know what would happen if God took the anointing off of me and removed the blood from my life? I'd be a hopeless, lost sinner. Amen. There would be no way that our marriage was in trouble. We've been married going on 47 years. May the 18th will mark 47 years that we've been married. Coming up here, not long from now. We're in April already. But I'm going to tell you something. Just before we gave our heart to Christ, we were already beginning to look through sin for something to satisfy our soul. I love Pamela, but she couldn't take God's place in my life. Amen. We're seeing, as we said Sunday night, I don't want to leave the resurrection long enough to get over into the stuff on the news about all the stars and superstars, but they're not happy people. They're not satisfied people. The people with the most beautiful wives in the world and wives with the most wonderful beauty as far as exterior looks and not only that, but money. Boy, my wife didn't marry me for money. That's for sure. If she married me for money, amen, that she had a terrible disappointment on her honeymoon. And I won't go into all those things, but God has provided for us. And I want you to turn with me as I stand behind this cross this morning for a little while. I want you to turn with me to Matthew's account. We could pick it from anywhere in the Gospels, but let's look at Matthew's account. And I want to begin at the end of the cross and read some scriptures that will take us into the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I want to read it from the book of St. Matthew. And I want to tell you why before we talk about a few things and get you home in time to get that ham out of the oven. Praise God, before it burns today. Hallelujah. Amen. When Matthew tells his version, and if you turn to St. Matthew's Gospel, turn to verse 50. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 50. Matthew 27 and verse 50. Amen. It's page 1352 in my Bible, but if you don't have one just like mine, that won't help you any. Amen. On St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27, and we're going to read with verse 50, the very end of the cross and the beginning of that would bring us in to the resurrection account. Let me tell you something about Matthew's account and why it's so striking and why I chose it. There's other accounts. When Matthew tells his version of the resurrection story, it's filled with a host of apocalyptic events and images that the other Gospels do not fully include. Listen to what it includes that they do not include, all of them. Earthquakes. Everybody say earthquakes. The splitting of rocks. Say it with me. The splitting of rocks. The opening of tombs. It's Matthew's way of signaling that the resurrection was not just something spectacular that happened to Jesus, but a decisive event in human history. Can you say amen? Amen. Jesus' resurrection turned the world as it was upside down. And it can turn your life upside down today. The Bible said that when it's amazing in this day of television that the preachers of that day, because they were operating under with resurrection power, with the same power that brought Jesus from the dead, they preached the gospel with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Amen. Amen. Same power that brought Jesus out of the grave is what they preached with. And they didn't have television. And they didn't have a mailing list. My father-in-law has been dead for a little over a year, and he's still getting letters from folks asking him for money. It's okay to give, and it's okay to ask for offerings. We, without the Christian supporting ministry, none of us would be in ministry. There would be no building here. But he's still getting the mail. And some of the letters are very intimate and very personal. You know, like, God has put me on your heart today and said that if anything that you want, that we would agree together in prayer that God was going to give you, and this was going to be the year of your breakthrough. And I thought, man, there's got to be a point somewhere where we don't talk that intimately, because some people actually die and some people actually read those letters and figure out that this God did not put him on nobody's heart today. Amen. He doesn't need to get any needs met anymore. He's in the presence of God and the holy angels. Praise God. He don't have to sow no seed to get no need met. Seed was sown at Calvary to meet the need after we die. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. I just thought I'd throw that out to you, because everything becomes financial even at Easter. They can't even stop for 1 week to honor the Lord's resurrection without associating it with just something in the material. Can you say amen? Not 1 week can be stopped. You're looking for preachers to say, hey, I'm going to use all this faith I'm talking about to sanctify 1 week out of the year just for Jesus. It ain't about our need. It ain't about your need to meet our need so God can meet your need. It's about him sowing a seed at the cross that met all of our need throughout all time and eternity. Can you say amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. I'm glad to be part of sowing into the gospel of Jesus Christ, but I am so glad, amen, that the seed he sowed at the cross has given me salvation, full and free. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm glad that the price for my healing, I don't have to buy it. He bought it for me. With his stripes, I was healed. Praise God. Amen. I don't have any problem with giving. I give because I love God, but I don't give to get healed. Amen. I get healed through faith in his shed blood and what he did at Mount Calvary. Amen. My Bible says, 1 Peter 2:24, who is his own self, bear my sins in his own body, with whose stripes I was healed. Can you say amen? Somebody give him praise for that healing power today. Healed within and healed without. Praise the Lord. Freely you've received. Freely give. You couldn't buy healing. It's not for sale. It's already been bought. You can't buy what's been paid for and given to you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You can't buy deliverance. It's been bought and paid for at the cross. You can't buy salvation. Hallelujah. It's been bought and paid for at the cross. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Thank the Lord Jesus. God is so rich and so good. Listen to verse 50 of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. Can you say amen? We think it was just Lazarus. Lazarus was the only person, and Jairus' daughter and the widow's son, these three people who were raised from the dead in the Bible. But listen, amen, when Jesus died on the cross, the earth shook, stones were cracked wide open, and many bodies of those that had died, amen, rose up after his resurrection. And listen, they didn't just rise up and go up to heaven. They rose up and went into the holy city. Either this is the biggest book of fiction, and Jesus is the biggest fraud that ever lived, or something so mighty, so powerful, so wonderful. Amen. It wasn't done in the shadowy, vague world of man's theological, philosophical ideologies. Amen. And idiocy. Amen. If that's a word, is there any word like idiocy? Amen. It's kind of a, you know, idiot and an odyssey all combined. will make it up here today. We got a word for them today. Amen. They're filled with idiosity. Can you say amen? Amen. Listen, you can't have this record in here. Amen. This book is either true or this is all fantasy. But there was one atheist this past week that was strong in his arguments against the concept of God at all. And this particular atheist, amen, someone had not, they quit arguing creationism to him and the validity of the Bible to him, but all of the text and the historical records were submitted to him by someone concerning the resurrection, because Easter Sunday was coming and somebody said, let's just show him all the evidence for the resurrection and see what he thinks. Well, this is what he came out on record as saying. Amen. I Googled it somewhere on there on the net. It was this week. He came out on record as saying, there is so much overwhelming evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ after, and see, he studied it to try to find all the loopholes that he could poke in it. But as he studied it, it accumulated. I've never eaten possum. Does anybody eat possum? They tell me, well, it's okay. Amen. Squirrel, game. He eats game. You got to know how to cook it, is what I'm told. Because if you don't cook it right, somebody said you chew it and it gets bigger. It's stringy. Oh, they got to get those glands out from underneath. Show me where them glands are. Okay, just in case I ever... Times are getting tough, but... In Plant City, possums are plenteous. Can you say amen? Vinegar, red pepper, and sage. I'm getting this all down. Red pepper, sage, vinegar. Okay, we got it. Sweet parboil it, sweet potatoes. Okay. I can tell who's got his mind on dinner. Did you fix that possum right for him?
No.
Oh. I just asked it. He cooked the possum. I heard that. Amen. But they say if you don't do what he said, whatever he said, you chew it, it's stringy, it seems to get bigger the more you chew it. Well, what happened to this particular atheist, amen, that was so set in his intellectual understanding of science, but his absolute lack of faith in a creator. But as he studied just what I read to you about a resurrection and the events that happened, the more he chewed on it, to try to chew it up so he could, you know, not swallow it, but spit it out. He wanted to just chew up the resurrection. Amen. He said, the more I'm convinced that something really happened that changed everything. Now, he won't say I'm a Christian yet. But I will tell you that when I ministered in Haiti, and we went out into the boondocks, and we got way out from Port-au-Prince, and we got where there was no running water and no lights and nothing. Amen. When we got out in the middle of absolutely nowhere, and they brought a camera with them, the people who sponsored this meeting, there wasn't videos or anything like that, but what they brought is a generator that they cranked up. They took a bed sheet and put it between two trees that had been little saplings and to hold it tight, and then they cranked up the generator and turned on one of those 16-millimeter projectors like you used to have in school. Amen, that you could hear it whir as the, and they put up something they call the Genesis Project. And about 10,000 people came to hear the gospel, and there was only about 3 vehicles among the 10,000. They walked, they didn't ride animals, they walked, some of them for miles, to hear the gospel of Christ. And when we showed that film that depicted the creation and Adam's sin, and then swiftly ran through to the crucifixion and resurrection, they were awed by it. But the thing about it, this film was filmed in the actual locations that all of these events happened in the Holy Land. And the man who was behind what they call the Genesis Project, amen, of filming this and getting it right and accurate according to Scripture, he had originally went to the Holy Land with one agenda, and that was to take the Bible and debunk it. take the Bible and prove that it wasn't true. But it's kind of like that possum that wasn't cooked right. The more he chewed on it, the bigger it got. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Until after a while he came to the conclusion that there's got to be more to this than fantasy and religious philosophy. Something happened. A man did come. A man did live. And a man did die on a cross. And a man did indeed rise from the dead. Praise God. Amen. And it changed everything. Praise the Lord. And it changed him. Praise God. He became convinced, not by listening to preachers and just walking in blind faith, but trying to disprove it, but looking at the accounts, not only in the Bible, but the historians that wrote in that time and the archaeological evidence of things. He looked for wells that it talks about in here. And they told him, there are no wells out in that area. He wanted to show the old and the new to be all phony. But he got a team together, and with the modern equipment, he got in the general vicinity where these wells were supposed to be that they said are not out there. In Israel, they said, no, they don't exist. Bible said they do exist. He got out there and found them. Trying to disprove the Bible, found the wells that even in Israel they didn't even know was there. Hallelujah. And not only did he find God? God found him. Amen. Praise God. Listen. And they came out of the graves after his resurrection, went into the holy city and appeared to many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, when they saw what? The earthquake and the things that were done. They didn't just see a man die. They saw this earth shake. They saw stones breaking open. They saw darkness at noon. Jesus hung from 9 until 3. 9 until 3. Friday. 9 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon. At 3 in the afternoon, you know what they were doing? At 3 in the afternoon over in the temple? When he gave up the ghost and said, into thine hands commend I my spirit. You know what was taking place? It was time for the offering of the sacrifice lambs. Over in the temple, at the time he gave up the ghost, they were slitting the throats of those little lambs and putting that blood on the mercy seat behind the veil. And as they began to sacrifice those lambs, the last lamb was sacrificed on Calvary. None of the blood had any effect after his blood was shed. Can you say amen? And the old covenant was replaced with the new covenant. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And the veil of the temple that separated the most holy place from the holy place and separated fallen man from a holy God, God tore up that contract. It was rent top to bottom. Can you say amen? Everybody say it was rent from the top to the bottom. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That means God looked down from heaven at that big old veil. And when Jesus said it's accomplished, he tore that covenant up. Praise God. And he said, whosoever will. Amen. To a fallen man, to lost humanity. Whosoever will. Whosoever will. Kind of blows election right out of the universe. Whosoever will. Let him come and drink of the river of life freely. That's why you can't buy this. Because it's not for sale. And the reason it's not for sale is because it's bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus. Somebody give him praise in this place. Woo! I understand if you give bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. I understand the material aspects of this spiritual law of sowing and reaping. But I'm telling you something, you can't buy what has been bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus. And we who are going to answer to him for what we preach, you better quit selling it. Can you say amen for profit and personal gain? Amen. Healing is not for sale at any price. Salvation is not for sale at any price. Can you say amen? I didn't spend money to get my son saved. I spent time in prayer interceding for him. Somebody give God praise. Jesus spent it. He paid for it. The Bible said you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold. How many know there's some things money just can't buy? Can't buy it from God. Use things in this world money can't buy. Beatles wrote a song. Guess what they said? You can buy me a diamond ring, my friend, if it makes you feel all right. You can buy me anything, my friend, if it makes you feel all right. That was the rest of it. No Beatle maniacs in here? Oh, sugar, sugar. She don't care too much for money. Money don't mean nothing to that gal. It's love holding her to. Money can't buy me love. Some years ago, there was this old geezer, and I got to be careful talking about old and geezer because I'm getting there. But there's this old geezer, and he's rich. He's loaded. And this beautiful, voluptuous young lady marries him. And the press is interviewing her, and she says, oh, but he's so sweet and kind. I love him so much. And you can just see her choking back. I want to show you behind the scenes in clergy world. I want you to know some behind the scenes. I was riding. Sometimes they'll take you, if you're closer to home than leaving the cemetery, sometimes I ride with the guy that's taking care of the funeral director. And we're riding in this nice, Cadillac behind the hearse, and everybody's behind us. And I wanted to make some conversation with him. And I said, I imagine your job is pretty tough, a lot of stress, because you're always dealing with grieving families and death, and trying to just, talk about something that he would relate to. And I said, what is the toughest part of your job? Now, I want you to know something down at the funeral home. They're selling you something. Amen? Amen? These folks are in sales. And they'll weep with you and cry with you. And maybe there's some, and I met some Christian ones that genuinely seemed concerned recently. But behind the scenes, it was a whole different world. I expected him to, us to have this conversation. I said, what is the hardest part of your job? And he said, I'll tell you what is the very most difficult thing that I do. And he's driving, And I think he's going to tell me about some child that died and some grief that's really heavy. And you know what he told me? He says, not smiling at a $25,000 funeral. I want to show you some behind the scenes clergy work. I'm sitting with a man. There's a Catholic gentleman and myself. It could have been a Protestant guy. This is no aspersion. They got enough trouble. I don't need to lay anything on the Catholics today. Amen. But the resurrection is still the resurrection. No matter how many men fail and religions go belly up, listen, the resurrection, it stands. Preachers come and go and they stand and fall, but the resurrection stands. Praise God. Just like the cross stands and the word stands. We're getting ready for a funeral. I'm concerned about not only comforting the people who have experienced the loss, but counseling the people that are all headed for the same destiny as far as our future. It's appointed unto man once to die if Jesus tarries. Can you say, man, have you figured that out yet, that you're headed in that direction? And you don't have to be 90 or 100. Amen. It can happen tomorrow to anybody in this room. Just like the young boy at Camp Wilderness at Disney World is riding his bike, having the time of his life. One of the safest places probably you can be is not even in the middle of the theme park, but out in Camp Wilderness in a kind of a beautiful area that just ran into the side of the bus, and it yanked him under the bus and crushed him under the bus. And his teachers said he's a wonderful young man, and his parents are devastated. Listen, I am so glad for the resurrection of Jesus. I'm so glad something could be said to them concerning him today. Amen. That would give them hope that death does not win all of these battles if we trust Christ as our Savior. Can you say amen? That the day Jesus died is the day that death died as well. Amen. Death just didn't know it yet. But on the third day, death found out, amen, that death suffered a blow from Jesus that had never gotten over. Because everyone that believes in him shall never die. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I read that and I thought, how wonderful to go in and celebrate a hope that mama and that precious boy are going to be together if she trusts Christ. There's nothing like the gospel to heal the hurt of faulty people living in a fallen world. Where things go wrong, where there's no, listen, death don't care, disease don't care who you are, where you're from. Car is hijacked, and the police encounter the man that hijacked it, and the mother and a two-year-old child is in the car, and there's a hail of bullets, and the man is killed, but the child, the two-year-old, has two bullets and in critical condition. And the mother is also hit in the exchange of fire. Going about your business, daily routine. And suddenly all of that has changed immediately. We live in a world that's so uncertain. But the resurrection is certain. That's why I love it. Even every time I see it on TV, I want to stand up and shout wherever I am. I don't care if it's an actor down there at the grave saying, we commit the soul to God who gave it, the body back to the dust in the certain hope of the resurrection. Honey, if you're going to read this book, it's not vague. If preachers preach it from the book, it won't be vague either. It won't be clouded with man's philosophy. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. It speaks in absolutes. Everybody say in absolutes. Praise God. That's why faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's the absolute truth. And as Beretta said, you can take it to the bank. Amen. Chapter 28 of Matthew says, at the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake. Amen? That's why I like Matthew's. Because he says, I want you to understand, this is not just about Jesus. Something of cosmic consequence happened. Something changed so radically the whole earth shook. From 12 until 3, a darkness came at noonday and covered the earth. Can you say amen? Glory be to God. Don't you think it was astonishing to be in that temple and watch that veil that they said was approximately 60 feet across and 30 feet tall? And linen had been sewn to linen, sewn to linen, sewn to linen, sewn to linen until it was that thick. And I used to know the weight of it. It would crush you if it fell on you, just the weight of that huge 4-inch thick, 60-foot wide, 30-foot high curtain that said, an unholy man cannot come into the presence of a holy God. But when Jesus said, it is finished, and the earth began to shake and the rocks broke open, that veil was rent from top to bottom, and the priests must have stood back in awe. And said, what does this mean? Now here's the problem. Temple worship didn't stop. Religious tradition is one of the biggest enemies against God's revival that exists today. Atheism is not holding back the revival. Amen. Atheistic Russia has experienced a mighty spiritual awakening. Amen. To the point that you could give away Bibles and at Red Square. You could go into the University of Moscow right there in Red Square and give out Bibles in the Russian language. But you can't do it at the University of South Florida or Berkeley, California. Incredible. The revival in China that's being so persecuted is a valid revival that's happening. Estimated that 20,000 people a day are coming to Jesus Christ in red, atheistic China. Hallelujah. Oh, what a mighty Savior. Amen. Something changed that is still impacting. Doubting, gainsaying 21st century, highly intelligent, educated idiocy. Can you say amen? Something changed. It's historical. Amen? Praise God. Can you imagine with no television, nothing to make you a celebrity, that a man from a town by the name of Nazareth. You know what they said about Nazareth? I used to live in Dover, and I went to work for Tampa Electric in Plant City. And when I went to work for Tampa Electric in Plant City, you know what they told me? They said, "You're a Doverite." I said, "You're right. I mean, the only way to get over that kind of stuff is go along with it." And the guy said, he said, "I'll bet you've got a car in your front yard up on blocks right now." And you know something? My mother-in-law had a Chevy 2 Nova. It wasn't on blocks, but it was sitting in my front yard. And it was broke down and wouldn't run. I said, "You know, I do have a car there." And he said, "I knew it. You're a Doverite." You know what I told him? I said, "I'm going to put a wash tub on top of it and leave it there for a bird bath." Said, "I knew he was a Doverite." Well, there's a church. We used to hold service out in front where the palmettas were on lawn chairs Sunday morning. There's a church there now, Spanish Church of God, on that piece of property. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. But no good thing, in their opinion, ever came out of Dover. Well, Nazareth, Six Mile Creek. I mean, take your pick. No good thing. Yes, yeah, Six Mile Creek. No good thing ever came out of Nazareth. The least of the cities of Judah, Bethlehem. Why are we talking about Jesus in the 21st century? Why don't he just go away? I mean, he's a nobody, right? He's born of a carpenter. He's a fraud. It's all a lie. They stole his body. It's all fabrication. Well, why didn't he die out? And why do people die for him to this day? Can you say amen? Why is it? It's because it's true. It shook the world then. It's still shaking and shaping our world now. And as much as they fight it, it's still here, glaring and looking them in the face. And like one prominent atheist says, there's too much evidence to just discredit all of this. He's still chewing on it. Can you say amen? And the longer he chews, bigger it's going to get. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know why? Because it's true. Hallelujah. And the Bible said, amen, that God was confirming, amen, his son. Amen. Jesus rose from the dead. How do you explain the earthquake? How do you explain the other people that rose up? How do you explain the lives that were changed and are still being changed? How do you explain salvation? If you think it's joining the church and turning over a new leaf, you don't know anything about what the resurrection has provided. The Bible said, if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he shall also quicken your mortal body by his Spirit that dwells in you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1 said, "And you hath he quickened, given life, who were dead in trespasses and sins." Praise God. And that doesn't just mean when you die, you get it. He that hath the Son, right in the present tense, hath life. Can you say amen? Praise God. "And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me, he'll never die." You say, "Brother, what's going to happen when your heart stops?" Just that. My heart's going to stop. Everybody say, "Bone bag." I want you to understand that while you bought that Bowflex was to exercise your bone bag. Can you say that? We had a guy at work. He bought the top of the line Bowflex. I do wish I had. We could build the biggest sanctuary you ever seen. We'd look kind of strange in it, but if it was that big, but we could build a huge sanctuary. I mean, cost would be no issue. If I had all of the exercise equipment that's underneath the bed and in the closet and in the garage, sitting there getting dust all over it. If I had all of those, we get geared up. It's just like New Year's. You're sitting there and you just ate this huge turkey. You ate more dressing than you thought you could ever shove in your stomach. Amen. You had pumpkin pie for dessert and nanner pudding. Can you say hallelujah? And some coffee. And you're sitting there thinking when you're full as a tick. Everybody say full as a tick. Amen. Have you ever seen a tick? They're pretty full. Go grab him. He popped. You're about to pop. And you know what we plan when we're sitting there full as a tick? Boy, this year I'm going to take off that 20 pounds. Yes, it's going to be so simple. I'm not even hungry already, just thinking about losing the weight. But just wait until that turkey digests and passes through. Can you say amen? And all the gravy and nanner pudding. Amen. And we're going to just go down there and say, no, just give me some oatmeal and give me some toast. I don't want no butter on it neither. Give me some coffee, no cream and no sugar neither. I'm going to lose that 20 pound. Yeah, right. Maybe just a little sugar in that coffee. A little pat of butter on that toast. Hey, throw some of that butter in on that oatmeal. Sprinkle some of that sugar on top of it. While you're doing that, a couple of sausage links would really be nice with it. And some bacon. I'd love me some bacon with my... Amen. See, that's how all that works. This is a bone bag. Contains something eternal. Gospel is not just for this flesh part of us. It's for something deeper. It's for the eternal you that lives on the inside, that if you've come to Christ, is going to live forever. Paul said to be absent from this body, it's not to be some green protoplasmic piece of slime floating around the universe. Have you ever seen men's concept of heaven? You know what it is? It's so crazy. Amen. They're little angels, little fat babies. You see them every Valentine's Day. I can just see lines backing off from little fat babies. Can you say amen? No, that's man's imagination. And a man's imagination, I will be sitting on a cloud. You'll see me. I'll be sitting upon a cloud. And I'll have on a white robe, sitting on this cloud up in eternity, up there somewhere in the third heaven, and I'll just be sitting there. I'll have me a harp, and I'll play a little tune. And I'll do that day in and day out, year after year, for eons, and be content to sit on my cloud and strum my little tune on my little harp. No, there's going to be a new heaven. The Bible said there's going to be a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Praise God. Amen. And the new Jerusalem's not even going to stay up there, because if you stay up there, you're going to miss the whole thing. Amen. I saw the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. Now, this is a pretty big city. It's a cube. It's 1,500 miles in each direction. You say, well, that's a big area, but it's a lot of people going to live in that city. Well, let me tell you, it's a high rise. 1,500 tall mile. And it's going to come down out of Jerusalem and sit here upon this earth. And there'll be a new heaven, and there will be a new earth. Praise God. And if we suffer with him, what's going to happen? We're going to reign with him. Praise God. Hallelujah. And we're going to know as we are known. Somebody asked me, Brother Venable, pondering these mystical things, will I know you in heaven? I thought, well, if I go to Dallas, if I move to Dallas, and you came to visit Dallas, would you know me in Dallas? Or would you think, no? Why? Because it's going to be me. I'm going to heaven. You know what Job said? He said, though the skin worms eat all the flesh off of my bones. When he stands, what a revelation of the resurrection, one of the most ancient books in the Bible. I know my Redeemer lives. And he's going to take a stand on the last day. And when he stands up, though I have been buried and the skin worms have eat off my flesh. You say, how in the world is God going to get you back when the skin worms have eaten you, digested you, excreted you? And all of that is went who knows where. Because God had the blueprint the day you were born. Amen. He's still holding the blueprint on everybody down here. He don't need you to be mummified to raise you up. Can you say amen? Some guy loved his wife. Who was it? Down in South America, Evita Peron loved her. Her husband loved her so much when she died, he had her stuffed. Honey, I love you. But I wouldn't want her watching TV with me over there like this. God don't need that. God don't need it. Isn't it good that God don't need it? Why are you so happy today? Why are you so happy? Because this is a bone bag. It's aging. Anything at any time could happen to it. I could get preaching so hard that I could give myself an aneurysm. Only God could hold it back. It just wouldn't be time to go. I've definitely preached that hard before. Hallelujah. Amen. And the bone bag would drop in the floor. Paul said to be absent from this body because of what happened, what Jesus proved. Amen. At the resurrection. Amen. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And he said, ever since I found that out, I'm in a strait betwixt two. They were under such persecution, the church was, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Literally in the Greek, it's rendered far better there than here. Everybody say, well, duh. Come on, well, duh. Amen. I don't know how you think it is here, but I'm going to be glad when we finally get there. Can you say, man, when we all get to heaven, we used to sing, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. Glory to God. We used to sing about heaven, preach about heaven, long to go to heaven. Praise God. Let me finish this and we'll be done. Because I know that possum's overcooking right now. Lo, there was a great earthquake, verse 2 of chapter 28, and the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead. And behold, goeth forth, behold, before you into Galilee. There you shall see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulcher, and with fear and great joy, say it with me, great joy. You wonder why? That I'm happy, that I'm jovial, that I'm just excited today. Amen. It's because of the great joy that comes from knowing that death was killed on resurrection morning concerning the believer. Death will not touch you in any form, spiritually, physically, amen, in any way. And I want you to know something else. Amen. Every time God did something, there was a demonstration of power. And Paul said, my preaching was not like you're used to in the big religious rut that the church is in today. Amen. But my preaching and my teaching was not just with the enticing words of man's wisdom. It was in a demonstration of spirit and power. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. And Peter said, we preach the gospel not in word only, but in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. And he said, we preach the gospel with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the Bible said God confirmed the word. They went everywhere and preached the gospel. The Lord working not for them, but with them. Can you say, man, doing what? Confirming the word with what? Signs following. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. How many in here have been born again? The Bible said he gave you life who were dead in trespasses and sins. You're a sign. Praise God. Hallelujah. How many's ever been healed of anything in your physical body? Amen. God confirmed his word with signs. Praise God. How many's been delivered from something that you couldn't deliver yourself from till you got saved? You're a sign. Praise God. Can you say amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Brother, would you come today? God is here. You have that in your repertoire right here. His wonders to perform. There was a day when you walked into a church that believed in this resurrection power. You could see things like this in the building. Amen. Praise God. They believe that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and he will be forever. They believe the Lord God of Israel is God Almighty and he changes not. Hallelujah. So they just operated as if everything was just the same as it was when Jesus walked the sandy shores of Galilee. Amen. They preached the gospel with power sent down from heaven, not with the eloquence and the intelligence that a good education can give you. Told you about being at the Full Gospel Businessmen's meeting where a man that was a pastor of a church in Philadelphia, he graduated with high honors, summa cum laude. I gave a message when one graduating class of Bible students one time, and I said, some of you are graduating summa cum laude. And all of you are graduating, thank the good Lord. Can you say amen? And you could just see the pressure go off of them, and we got to actually enjoy a boring old graduation ceremony. Amen. Praise God, because God was in it. He was a highly educated pastor, graduated with high honors, pastored a huge church. Because of his credentials, he went right into a huge church in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, baptized people, married them. People came forward to receive Christ, and he prayed with them. But in a Full Gospel Businessmen's meeting, he heard the testimony of a colonel in the United States Air Force, self-sufficient, military, agnostic. There may be a God, there might not be. Nobody can prove it one way or the other. I'm not even going to think about it. I take care of myself. I'm self-sufficient. But he came to Christ, came under Holy Ghost conviction, changed him. Praise God, because Jesus is risen. This is not just a philosophy or an ideology. This is a reality. Jesus did, in fact, raise from the dead. Hallelujah. And accepted Christ as his Savior. And guess who was the first person when they gave an invitation in that meeting to come forward to receive Jesus? The pastor with all the credentials, who realized in that moment, I've encountered religion. I've encountered the Bible. But he had never encountered the risen Savior, saith the Spirit. See, folks, no one can really get saved and not encounter God in some personal spiritual way. This is not a head trip. This is not mental ascent. The Bible speaks of being regenerated by the Holy Spirit. There's going to be a lot of religious people in hell. Hell's going to be full of them. Jesus said, many are going to say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. But no man, he said, can call me Lord except by the Holy Ghost. God's got to open your eyes. God's got to draw you. God's got to save you. Can you say amen? Because man can't do any of this through his religious efforts. Hallelujah. But when God does it, like Pamela said this morning, when he does it, it takes, doesn't it, sugar? Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm so glad Jesus rose from the dead. I'm so glad that Christianity stands today, not as one of many world religions, amen, but the faith that offers true salvation. Because every leader of every world religion, if your thing is Buddhism or some of that, you can go to India. There's a river where they still by night, hopefully for better crops and for blessings on their families. They'll take a newborn baby, and it's illegal, but they'll toss it into the Ganges River as an offering to Buddha, because they believe when he died, and he did, that they took his ashes and they sprinkled them into the Ganges River. That still happens even in modern India today. If you go to Red Square, you're going to see what godless atheism offers. Because there are two men laying in state in Red Square. Amen. Their bodies are there. You can view them. Marx is dead and Lenin is dead. Can you say amen? The leaders of communism are dead. The leader of Buddhism is dead. Amen. The Muslims are going to take a pilgrimage to Mecca because there where they believe the body of Muhammad is, he's dead. But Christians, when they go to Jerusalem, they're not looking for a body. They're going to see an empty tomb, which may or may not be his tomb. That's not the issue. He has risen just as he said. Can you say amen? Somebody give him praise in this room. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Why are you a Christian? Number one, I've met him. Brother Venable, what are you talking about? Could we have some Twilight Zone music? Because I hear somebody in their mind thinking it. Give me some Twilight Zone. Nobody remembers it? That's a roach just after he ate that poison. That ain't the Twilight Zone. I've heard him. No, that's not. Do, 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 do. I see people when I tell them I've met Jesus. The boy, their eyes. You ever see Petey on the Little Rascals, that dog? You ever see his eye go like that? I watch their eyes just spin. Amen. You're one of those. Exactly. 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 I was raised up in church. I knew all about church. Oh, church was church, and I was me, and the two didn't meet. Can you say amen? I raised up in Sunday school. I knew the Sunday school lesson. I believed about Jonah and the whale and all that stuff, but I hadn't believed on Jesus. But one night, while I was looking forward to a milkshake, passing notes to the girls, amen, not even caring about what the preacher preached, praise God, amen, the Holy Ghost came for me. The hound of heaven came for me. He got a hold of me, praise God. I had a God encounter. It wasn't just go to church and go back out there and try to do better. No, my life was changed. Yeah, and I've been a Bible thumper ever since, praise God. But before I was a thumper, I was a believer, praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe God still wants his gospel to come in power. And I believe he still wants his church to be representatives of what the resurrection can do in hearts and lives. Because we live our life in the power of his resurrection, not just at Easter, but we do it throughout the whole year. Will you stand to your feet? Anybody here that needs Christ this morning? Is God calling you? Is he coming for you? Anybody here that's had an exposure to dead religion and you've accepted that for your salvation? Please, please don't hang on to something that can't even deliver the people who practice it. Can you say amen? This is that point in the service when people get nervous. I don't blame them. If I wasn't saved, I'd be nervous. The cat on a hot tin roof. But I am saved. I'm very comfortable with God's fire. I'm comfortable in altar call. Praise God. When they talk about sin, I don't. It's not because I'm sinless. It's because I want to be right with God. So you can't bother me talking about being right with God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Isn't God good? Aren't you glad you're in His house celebrating this day? I believe this year is going to be marked where people assemble in the name of Jesus. I believe resurrection power is going to be in demonstration. Last Sunday, I could have went to the hospital and prayed for Elizabeth Baldry. Because the doctors, after 7 or 8 days, were scratching their head and fussing with each other. They were so frustrated, they were actually fussing with each other. She's laying there, and they can't find out what's wrong with her. A fever that they can't stop. They've given her every kind of thing that they can give. And she's laying there, and they're fussing between themselves. But the Lord told us to get the phone Sunday, to hold it up. Bring her into a worship service. The doctor came in while she was listening to us worship, getting ready to pray. She told him, please come back later. My pastor's praying for me. Hallelujah. Amen. And after we prayed, her faith had come up. The anointing of God was in this place, going through that phone into that hospital. And she said, I receive it. I receive it. And Monday, that was Sunday, and Monday, they found out what was wrong with her. And she checked out of the hospital Monday. Keep praying for her health. But listen, she could have died while they were trying to figure it out. God's anointing can break the yoke. Hallelujah. I believe we're going to see prayers answered, people set free. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. Can we worship Him in one song before we leave? I've been pretty good on the time, you've got to admit, with a communion service. Praise the Lord. Bring it right up. Let's praise Him today. Let's praise Him before.